Thursday, September 5th, 2023. I am Solid Blue Sister, and this is My Turn to Talk. And welcome, welcome everyone. And as always, no matter what platform you're listening on, be it on live or the replay, thank you very much. I do appreciate you. And welcome, Brina, Brina. Welcome. You're number one today, Blunt Ninja. Number two, hey, Ralph William. Number three, hey, Miss Shelby. Welcome, welcome. Hope you had a good time this weekend on your trip. And as always, I hope everyone's having a wonderful day. Okay, let me stop this. I was trying to didn't upload the song for my outro today. Okay, y'all, so what's up? Hope everyone had a good weekend, a good safe weekend. Mine was good, busy. Hey, Fair Use, welcome. Minnesota, did I say welcome to you? Welcome. Okay, so, cold case, getting away with murder. No matter how old you are, you will pay for murder. Is that true? Do some people, well, we know some people do get away with murder. They've been doing it for years and years and years. But are there, I mean, do you guys think that, you know, you kill somebody in 1920 and, you know, 60, 70 years later, even the day before you die, that you will pay for it? And do you guys think that cold cases should be forgotten? Do you think that people should worry about the present crimes, the murder that happened 2 years ago, or even maybe 10 years ago? How far back should you go with murder? And should people care? Because there are some people who say, you know, why are you talking about that now? Why, you know, leave the past the past. But, you know, these people, they have family. Even if you're talking to their great grandkids, you know, whatever, it's still their family. Hey, Shorty V and Lou, welcome, welcome. Do you think that Ralph, I'm literally talking about, should people get away with murder? I'm talking about that if you killed somebody in 1910 and you're still living, and someone works that case and they find out, you know, 100 years later, 120 years later, or 113 years later, whatever, that person should be outed, if, you know, whether they're alive or dead, and a right should be made out of a wrong. Do you believe that, you know, people who commit murder, and it turns into a cold case, that you should just let it be? Because I personally think that every law enforcement in this country should have a cold case department, and cold cases should be actively worked. And yes, do work those cases from 30 years, 40, 50 years ago, because I do believe that those people have been waiting the longest. Those people have been waiting the longest. So, you know, okay, and Brina says, I think they still deserve justice regardless of the time frame. And that's how I see it. And yes, people do get away with murder every day. I mean, you can look back in the history books, and, you know, we can bring up countless murders that people have gotten away with. And then TQ says, families need closure, right or wrong. You know, and I don't know. It's you know, that word closure, you know, for some people, if it's family or even if it's friends, closure may mean catching the bad guy. Closure may mean for some people, well, they've reconciled the fact that their loved one or whomever is gone and they won't be coming back. And, you know, they finally been able to get to a point where they can accept it. And all of a sudden, you know, here someone goes, they're bringing it back up, you know, 10, 20, 30 years later. But what about the victim? You know, does that victim deserve justice? Is it more about the victim and less about the family or friends? Hey, Petty Deb, welcome. You know, is it more about righting a wrong for them as opposed to your feelings or your closure? Let's see. Sun says the angel number 111 means to be present and ready to engage with whatever is coming your way. Said Wilder, while you may not have the right tools ready for this new path, one energy is self-assured. That's interesting. Okay. So, do you all think that you should be able to go after someone? You know, should they pay for it? Because one thing that I don't like, and I'm going to use the Holocaust as an example. You have people who are still alive, Nazis who are still alive, who fled to whatever country, be it the United States, UK, wherever, Switzerland, Australia, wherever. And these people, they're old. I mean, they're like about to die. And they're pursued and they're arrested. And family members say, but he's so old. But he's so old. But this is my grandfather. This is my father, you know, or whatever. But the person that they kill didn't get a chance to grow up. They didn't get a chance to grow up. You know, you were able to live your life as a free person and enjoy your family. But the person who died, they didn't get a chance to live their life and pursue their family. You know, and I'm going to bring up Emmett Till. His life stopped at 14. He will forever be 14 years old. You know, and I mentioned this before, you know, Roy Bryant admitted that he killed him a year after it happened. He gave an interview in Look, and he admitted, yeah, I killed him. And then in 1991, he talks about how Emmett Till ruined his life and ruined his livelihood. And then when Carolyn Bryant dies, the woman who lied on Emmett Till and got the motion started to his torture and murder, when she died, people on social media were saying, why people should stop being so mean and hateful. She has a family. So does Emmett Till. In 1957, a man raped and murdered a young woman and a police officer. Now, I'm not making a big deal about it being a police officer, and some people may not like me for saying this, but whether you're a cop doesn't mean that you get special attention because you died. To me, you know, a cop's life or a regular citizen's life is just as important as a cop's life, my opinion. If people don't like what I just said, sorry. Hey, Mama Bear. Back in, I do believe it was like 1992 or something, a woman is out in her garden and she digs up this gun. She turns it in. Turns out to be the gun that murdered this police officer and this woman. And they reopened the case. And what they said, they reopened it because they said, you don't kill a police officer. Well, what about this woman who was also raped and murdered by this man? The police officer was killed because the guy was trying to get away and he just, you know, bang, bang. And in the shootout, the police officer was the one that died instead of the bad guy. So they pursue it. And 2 years go by, and they arrested this man. It was on video, whatever, and they opens the door and sees these police officers standing there. Are you so-and-so? Yes. You know, and they tell him why they're there. And the man says, you're here for that? You know, like, excuse me, it's been 40, 50 years, and you've been living your life? So at the sentencing, his family says, but he's a grandfather. My children won't be able to, you know, grow up with their grandfather. Who cares? That young lady did not get a chance to have a family because she was in high school when she was raped and murdered. And the police officer left a two-year-old son. So that child didn't grow up with a father. So that's why I say, you know, in terms of murder, let's see, Ralph says, should that be treated like credit card debt, that if you pass away, it passes down to the next kin or someone in your family? Are you saying that the murderer, that the murderer should be? That debt should be passed down to the family. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, if you died and you were never caught, but they found out that it was you, you know, should you put your son or your wife or your daughter or your grandkid in jail? No, that's not what I'm saying. You know, and no, it shouldn't. But I do believe that people should be outed for what they did, no matter how many years ago it was. So, Bismarck, welcome. So that's what I'm saying. Because I just think that you know, for me, my opinion, this is all my opinion, as y'all know, that too many people over the years have gotten away with murder, especially murders that you know that the person did. Murders where they openly admitted, you know, people just get away with it. You know, so, you know, once again, I say no matter how old you are, you will pay for murder. Somehow, some way. Did Roy Bryant pay for it? No, he never spent a day in jail. But within a month after Emmett Till's murder, he had to close his store because no one was shopping there. 90% of his clientele were Black. And within 6 months, they shut it down all together and they went bankrupt. So is that a way of, you know, is that a way? I mean, does karma work not necessarily with you going to prison, but does karma work where, like Lou says, it definitely comes back to you. It will eventually come back to you. So do you all think that, you know? Life is short. Life is very short. No matter how old you are when you pass away from this earth, life is short. You know, and I would like to think that there are people who care enough to want to get justice for people who have been taken away. But again, that's just my opinion. St. Louis says, yes, like when USA killed 1 million innocent Muslims in war crimes. Now look how America is doing. I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, so many innocent people have died over stupid stuff, over hatred, over skin color, over a war. I mean, is it okay just to go and drop a bomb on someone because you're trying to win a war? I mean, the effects of the atomic bomb in Japan, 60 years later, is still being felt in that country and in some parts of the world with that radiation. You know, but I do believe in karma. I do believe that if you hurt someone, if you kill them, you may seem to get away with it, but I do believe that something in your life, if you don't go to jail, somewhere along your journey until you expire, karma's going to come and it's going to get you in some way. It may come through your children. It may come through your parents. It may come through Mother Nature. But I do believe that you will pay the price for killing someone. And Shorty says that it always does. Yes, it does. Welcome, Mayor Crazy. You know, you will reap what you sow. Yes, yes, you will. So that's why I say, when you have cold cases, and you know you're looking into that case, or you know, you're a police officer and you're in the cold case department. Do you just push the ones aside that are 30, 40, 50 years old and work on the ones that are more recent? I say, why not work on them all? Yeah, people may pass away. The scene of the crime may be, knocked down and now there's a parking lot. But one thing that I do think is somebody has always seen something. One person always sees or knows or can give that lead. And like I said, the person who committed the crime may be dead. But at least the victim is getting justice. So y'all think I'm wrong, I'm right? I mean, do you think that you should just let cold cases just sit? You know, because it reminds me of cemeteries. And Crazy says, I think they should be worked in. Okay, because it reminds me of cemeteries. A lot of cemeteries, a lot of people don't know this, but when you buy a burial plot, sometimes you may not be the only one in that space. You know, you may have bought a plot where you want your, say your parents pass. Your father's in the grave first. And you want your mother to be buried on top of him. But sometimes you may be sharing that same plot with somebody you don't even know. Someone who passed away 60, 70 years ago. Have you ever been to a cemetery where some of the headstones are so old that they're falling apart? And you go back maybe 5 years later, a lot of those headstones are gone. The graves are not even marked. And they resell those plots because they assume, Robin, welcome. A lot of cemeteries assume that the family has passed away or the family stops coming. Like you have people who will go to a gravesite every single day. You have people who go every week. Every year, you have people who will go. But you have some people, when they're buried, your family's there, but they don't return for whatever reason. Maybe, you know, they just don't want to. They don't have time. It's too far. I mean, I've heard a lot of reasons. And I've asked people, do you go back to, you know, visit your mom? Do you visit your grandmother, whatever? Some people, religiously. Other people know. Crazy says, I think you can solve some if you bring them back out, maybe related to something new. Okay. Yes, it is. It is messed up. It is. And then Crazy says, my dad is so far, but I try as much as I can. Now, with the, you know, with the expense of burials now, a lot of people are turning to cremation, you know, but, and Shorty says, I visit my mom sometimes, it's hard. You know, but people, you know, like those cemeteries and your loved ones, and I hate to say it, but sometimes they are forgotten. So people who have been, you know, who are cold cased, should they be forgotten? Just because they are, you know, the age of the crime is so long ago. Does that really matter? I mean, if this one detective has been working on this case for 20 years and he retires or he passes away, I think somebody else should pick it up. Because sometimes fresh eyes, you know, you see things that other people didn't. Damien, welcome. Okay, Mayor Crazy says he's in a vet cemetery, so they take care of him. Veterans of foreign wars. Okay, my dad was cremated, but he does have a plot. You know, but I mean, if you guys ever just go and you guys ever just go to a cemetery and walk around, especially the older parts of a cemetery, first of all, I say do it because it's very quiet. It's very quiet. But you go and you see those headstones that are, you know, over to the side, falling apart. You know, you can't hardly read them anymore. Their families have moved on. You know, maybe daughter's not there anymore to go and make sure that, you know, that everything's okay. And cemeteries, the owners, they pay attention to that. But for cold cases, who's paying attention to the older ones? Not saying that you shouldn't work the newer ones. You know, Crazy, you know, it's quiet. I don't know about the sad part, because I do believe that everybody has a life cycle. Some of them are shorter than others. But I don't know about the sad part. You know, sometimes, you know, and this is me, this is how I think sometimes, you know, I do occasionally take a walk through a cemetery. And sometimes, you know, when you just sit down on that bench and you're just looking around, and, you know, and a lot of them are beautiful, you know, I'm wondering, are these, you know, are they talking to each other? hey, what's up? Or, you know, this. I mean, you know, do the dead have their own thing that they're doing? And I know it sounds silly. And Lou is giving me the side eye. I mean, you know, I mean, because I don't know. I just get fascinated by a lot of different things. You know, oh, Thriller style at nighttime. You know, I don't know, y'all, but y'all a quiet group today. Nobody wants to come up here and join me, but that's okay. Y'all know that I can keep talking. So, yeah, but those are the things that I think about, you know, when I, cause y'all know I think about death. I do think about death, because it's fascinating to me. It's fascinating to me. And, I was reading about some cold cases. You know, and you see these TV shows, you know, whatever, and you know, where they're trying to go after the person, and you know, this person, you know, they kept at it, they kept at it. But that's more the more recent people who have passed away, who have been victims of crimes. And that's why I go back to, what about the older ones? You know, you look at John Walsh, if you guys are familiar with John Walsh, and his son, Adam. He was abducted. And when they found his body, he was not whole. You know, they never did find his head. Who decapitates a 7-year-old boy? Or I'm sorry, I think he was 6. You know, and sometimes things happen to you where your path in life changes. You know, John Walsh is very active in missing children, whatever. Would he have done that if his son had not have been murdered? Supposedly, I think about 15 years ago, the person who supposedly killed him gave a deathbed confession. He was in prison. But they don't think that it was true. They don't think that he really did it. You know, and what about that? That was a sad case, Blunt. It was. So what about that? Do you, if someone, you know, now Lou, I'm about to talk about serial killers. If someone, if someone makes a confession and everything just doesn't add up, but you want to close that case. I mean, do you accept it? Because I think that there are cases that have been closed by people, not necessarily a serial killer, but by people who have confessed. Because there are people who confess to murders when they didn't do it. Why? I don't know. I don't know if it's a sickness or they just want attention, what it is. But do you accept it? Do you think that, you know, that you just say, okay, they're confessing, so they must have done it. You know, you look at, there are just so many cases out there that you don't even hear about. So many disappearances. And so many people who wind up dead. That you don't know what happened. I mean, do you all agree? Do you all disagree? You know, do you believe that some people or some law enforcement, they just, you know, accept it and that's it? One serial killer that I think should still be a cold case, but again, this is just me, is Wayne Williams for the Child Atlanta murders back in 1981. I think they got the wrong person. Do I think he did some bad things, yes. Do I think he kidnapped and murdered all those little boys? No. No, so once again, should people be repaid back if they were? Absolutely, 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 Ralph. Absolutely. I don't care if you spent just a day in jail. Absolutely. You know, but, you know, even for something like that, it's hard. I mean, people, you know, you read about these people who were in prison for years. Your kids have grown up. Parents have passed away. And even though money doesn't solve everything, to me is a hell of a lot better than the state is really sorry. So let me ask you guys something. If you were, let me see. Years ago on Oprah, she had a woman who, I can't remember the woman's name, she was convicted of murder. And she kept saying she didn't do it, she didn't do it, she didn't do it, she didn't do it. She did not have a good attorney. I do believe her attorney was a public defender. She said that that he did not look into this, didn't look into that, didn't follow up on this. And she was trying to tell the police, you know, I didn't do this. And, you know, you need to look at this, or I was here, whatever. And they didn't. And they had members of the jury on the show. And this one woman, when Oprah said, do you feel bad that you convicted someone that was innocent? The woman smiled and she was like, no. Yeah, she spent time in jail, but she's out now. She should be happy. You know, and Oprah kind of looked at her and the crowd kind of gasped, you know, it's like, seriously? Hey, shy lady, welcome. You know, so, yeah, Ralph, I do believe that they should be repaid. And I do believe that the payment should be in the millions. I believe for every person that is put in prison who is innocent, they should seriously be paid. Because you do have a lot of innocent people who are sitting in prison. I believe if police officers, exactly, Crazy, they don't. They absolutely don't. Is throw someone in jail and close the case. Yep. I also think that law enforcement should be, you know, you should be paid millions. If you, you know, get a false confession, if you, you know, berate someone for hours and hours and hours on at a time. And some of these police officers do. They will go at you for hours and hours and hours. You know, you don't have any sleep, you're hungry, whatever. I mean, by that time, yeah, you're admitting to anything. Now we need you to write it out. Lou, that's everybody in Washington, period. I'm not even going to go there. You know, I'm not even going to go there. You know, but, you know, it's crazy. And how many cases that are cold, that have been cold for decades could have been closed if someone just took the time to investigate just a little bit more. Just a question. Julian, welcome.
Howdy. So I wanted to just add to that. You know, how many murders and child molestation and kidnappings could have been avoided by them looking into old cases and arresting people that pop back up every decade and redo this shit and then just disappear? You know what I'm saying? Because that's why they don't catch anybody. If you throw somebody in jail, but the person who's actually doing the shit is still out there doing the shit.
So why do you think they don't?
I mean, some offices I know that they do open or have old cold cases, and they'll go in there and they have like cold case, I guess, officers that are, you know, assigned to that stuff, but not enough. Nothing is ever fast enough in the justice system. They don't care enough, especially when it comes to just regular civilians to pay for that. But yet they'll keep all these cops that are corrupt and shift them around the system so that they don't get fired, and then they go cause trouble other places. So like the justice system doesn't care about your average citizen. The majority of them do not, on any level, government all the way down to patrol cops, you know? I mean, but also because they're desensitized, you know, and they're made like that. I believe a lot of them are, it's just like that. They're like, well, it's just like that, and there's nothing that I can do about it. Because who rises up against the mass if you're the singleton in that department where nobody cares about the cold cases and how many cities there are in the U.S., right? Can you imagine how many cold cases are out there that people,
I mean,
that
I,
we don't even know about?
I mean, I think there are tons of cold cases. And I'm gonna tell you, I also think that some people may not like me saying this either. I also believe that law enforcement are responsible for a significant number of them.
Oh yeah,
with disappearances, with people coming up dead. I absolutely do. I absolutely do. That's why, you know, it bothers me when a cop is killed. All of a sudden, it's like no holds barred. You know, the entire country is out for this manhunt. But you know, here you have this woman or this, like you said, just this regular person who was shot and killed. And it's like, well, okay, well, you know, yeah, I know you keep calling every year, Mrs. Smith, but we still don't have anything. But if her child was a cop,
right?
You know, it would be a different story. And some people say, well, they do that because people need to know that when you kill someone, that when you kill a cop or or someone high level, that's absolutely, you know, we will come after you. Then why don't you come after the person who killed my neighbor?
Exactly.
You know,
because we don't matter as average citizens. Like we're collateral damage in the entire justice, political, and whatever situation. We're all collateral damage, honestly. And a lot of cops are too. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because there are those out there. I'm not an all cops are bad person, because I know a lot of cops and stuff that aren't bad. But you can't be good, because if you're good, they put you out. Or they stifle you, or you get fired. You know what I mean? I mean, they don't allow good people to stay in the system. That's why it's majority bad.
So do you think that, I don't know if I said this when you came on or not, but because I believe that every law enforcement in the country should have a cold case department. Do you mm-hmm. think that they should?
I think, yeah, because I personally believe that these cold cases are tied to new stuff, too. You can't. How many times have they come up with some cold case or some new one that reopens a cold case because they're like, wow, that, you know, similar. You remember the cold case files? I used to watch those all the time.
Yeah.
it's so similar. And then all of a sudden they track it across like the country and they're like, wow, I didn't even know this happened in like 15 other places. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's a network type of thing. Personally, I think that they would stop a lot more stuff if they would work the cases and not try to just shuffle them. But a lot of them will come back to, well, that's personnel. We don't have enough money to staff that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, and they're probably not lying. It's probably true. They don't have the budget to staff a cold case. And most of the time, that's why they're shuffling paperwork anyways, because they have to move on because there's so much more to do. But my thing is had you looked into that cold case, maybe you wouldn't have five more cases to look at because you would have caught the guy that was doing all the rest of them. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I'm like, you know, that's what kills me. I don't know about, you know, how is there a statute of limitations? Do after 30 years, are we really going to look into that? But what I do believe is every new case should be, the reason why there should be a cold case department or some kind of file system, lookup system, like the system that I've been in since probably early 90s, the NCIC, there should be a database that someone can pop in some information in and have all these cold case files pop up and go, oh, well, let's stop it right here or something like that. Without people putting the cold cases out there or any cases, who's looking it up? Who's talking to each other?
Well, since there's no limitation on murder, that's why I say that even if it's right. a cold case from 1920, it's about the victim. It's not about the family. It's about the victim.
If you can solve it, solve it. I mean, I think I wish every single case was solved properly because a lot of them are solved and just dumped. And that's what they do. They throw someone in jail and that's it. But that's why you got 10 more cases because you didn't catch the serial killer. You put him in jail because, you know, he's a bad guy maybe, but he didn't actually do this. But now the guy who's actually doing it is still out there. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And just because someone has a record,
right.
doesn't mean that they did that particular crime, you know. But I don't know. I just think that sooner or later, you know, you may get away with it, and again, never go to prison. But I do, like I said, I do believe in karma. I do believe some way, somehow, you are going to pay for it. And if you don't pay for it by going to prison, then somewhere along the way, your family will pay for it in some way. If it means that, you know, your entire life, you heard that your father, you know, murdered this, you know, this person, whatever, but he was just never, they could never prove it. And your father passes away. That stigma, you know, that's another thing. It's like, you may have to live with that. Your kids will have to live with that. You know, I mean, I don't know. I just believe in karma. And I believe that sooner or later,
absolutely.
It is going to catch up with you. And you think you got away with it only because you didn't go to prison. But something else in your life is going to happen. And you know, I mean, I'm just saying, and you just look back and say, you know, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I have done this before. I've done it several times where I've done something and something happens and I'm like, yep, this is coming back to me because I did that. I mean, seriously.
Yep. I do it. You know? Yep.
You know, so, you know, you behave this particular way, whatever, and you acted out and you were like this way. Yep. Well, guess what? Now I call that
chalk it up to the game. Anytime something like that happens to me, I just chalk it up to the game. Because I remember they're like, well, what do you know, like this or that, like you did this. I'm like, look, if I get in trouble for something, right? And let's say it's just something little. What I look back on is how many times I didn't get trouble for something that would have been worse, something that I couldn't have got out of. Like, you know, I got away with a lot of shit. So later on when I get busted for little things, I'm like, yeah, well, I deserved that. You know, like I, whatever, you know, I can't be mad about that because eventually everything catches up with it. Everybody doesn't believe that. I believe in it because I've lived it. I've had stuff that I thought were buried, you know, my little skeletons that, you know, they creep right back up on you if you don't take care of that stuff, you know, and I believe the same for karma. it's going to come there. It doesn't have to be today. It's not instant. It's not always like that. And sometimes it's time-released karma.
Yes.
If you're a bad person, I believe in time-released karma, and that's all I feel about it. Like, you're going to reap what you sow 10 times, whether it's good or bad, and I don't care what they say.
This is true. An official welcome to Power Girl. And Shorty says, crazy, you do it to me all the time. You know, so, I mean, I don't know. I just think that it's sad that you have a lot of cold cases that have been sitting for years and years and decades and decades, and people just forget about them. They're like, well, you know, that was so long ago, but the person never got justice. They're still dead. Why look at, you know, I mean, to me, a cold case from 1920 is just as important as a cold case from the year 2000 or, you know, 1990 or something. I mean, they're equally important because someone died. And
someone's missing.
You know, and all those people who openly committed murder, you know, I believe that, again, you may not have gone to prison, you know, but something along the journey of your life will happen or has happened. And that's your payback. It probably, for some people, could have been probably easier for them to go to prison. Yes.
That's true.
And Fairview says, I don't believe we should have a statute of limitation on violent crimes.
That's right. It shouldn't be. No, I agree. Look at those. There is people out there. The thing is there's like groups. It's just, there's not enough. Like, there's a group that goes around and like, unfortunately, they find the people that are, you know, their cars are in lakes. And what's funny to me is a lot of these things, you're just like, how did that go overlooked all this time? That's how you know that they don't do thorough jobs, honestly, because there's sometimes you look and you're like, how did you miss that car right there? Like, if you looked in that vicinity, like, why are these cars turning up in all these waterways? All these years later, was it not there when you went there the first time? I don't understand. Or did it get deposited afterwards? That's why there's so many unanswered things. How do you answer cold case when some of those are done by the officers that made them cold cases?
This is what I'm saying. I think that's why I said I believe that police officers are responsible for a lot of the unsolved crimes that are out there.
Because they can cover it up without really a problem.
Well, I had a comment to make of what Fairview said. I'm trying to remember what I was going to say. Self-defense. What do you mean by self-defense, Ralph?
Not for the cop. And even if it was, why wouldn't it be reported? So.
Yeah. You know, and see, we got about 7 more minutes before I end the show. I'm just trying to do my hour thing, y'all. I'm going to switch gears here for a minute because Ralph brings up a good thing about self-defense. What about self-defense against cops? Don't I have the right to?
Yes. Yes.
Don't I have a right to defend myself against a cop? I mean, if a cop is you know, taking it to the next level, because cops definitely, in my opinion, make the situation worse, and they pull a gun on me, do I have a right to pull my gun on them?
If it's unwarranted, but have fun fighting that in court.
Right. Well, first of all, I won't be able to fight because bang, bang, I'll be dead. So I'm just saying that, you know, for self-defense against cops, you know, it's like, you know, one thing that you said, Crazy, which is absolutely true, is the law enforcement or the judicial system in this country sucks. It sucks. You know, when I see police officers just driving around with protect and serve, I just shake my head. You know, you look at people, you know, the sentencings that they get, or again, the people who are in prison and they're innocent. You know, you can sit up there and do that press thing, you know, at the end where, you know, you're getting out of jail and the news is there and you're like, oh, I'm so happy to be out. And I'm glad my mother's here and your mother's standing there with you, you know, whatever. And, oh, I, you know, and you're thanking God and all this other stuff. But your life has significantly been screwed. And the justice system did, did that.
Yep.
You know, so, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's trickled down.
What about a veteran? Are you saying self-defense about a vet? Is that what you're saying, self-defense to a vet? I mean, to me, self-defense is self-defense. If somebody is coming at you, you have the right to defend yourself. So, you know, so I don't think anybody should get a special pass just because they have a certain title.
That's the sad part about it.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, you have people who are sitting in jail right now, you know, and you're supposed to have the right to a speedy trial, but they've been sitting in jail for a year, 2 years, whatever. You know, so crazy. What do you think about this? Let's say you get picked up for you had all these traffic tickets and you had these warrants out, whatever, and they put you in jail and your bail is, let's say, $2,000. You can't afford it. Your family can't afford it. I don't think people should sit in jail for something as trivial as that. I really don't. I mean, garnish, if you want to garnish my check, you know, whatever, or make me, you know, go clean up the freeway underpass or something, you know, whatever. But to have people sit in jail for that, because people will sit in jail for a very long, long time because they can't afford it.
Well, here's the thing. I believe you should pay your debt. And I can tell you that on many occasions, more or less just because you don't want to be in more trouble, not because you really deserve it necessarily. You know what I'm saying? Like, my thing is I've been in and out of those situations and I've sat in jail on purpose to avoid certain fines, taking community service, probation, stuff like that, or whatever.
I'm saying that you don't pay your debt. I'm just saying that there's another way for you to pay as opposed to sitting in jail because you didn't, you know, you have all these traffic.
Right. So that's why I was getting to that. But I'm saying, but the reason why, you know, obviously a state gets so much money per person in the jail. I understand that that's a trivial thing to throw things in jail. But if you have the time to sit that out, they do put a significant amount against the fine for sitting the days out. So I've done that because I don't want to pay. So I've sat the time out because the jail gets so much money per person in jail per night. That's how you pay your fines off. So now is it probably overused and overcrowded and all that other stuff? But unfortunately, I think that sitting in jail for a certain amount of time and to pay a fine off as an option that's really, you know, I don't know. I'm not against it because I've used it when I couldn't pay the fines.
Okay. All right.
Because you don't want it on your credit and stuff. Cause like all that stuff
I'm just saying that there has to be an alternative. I mean, if it's your choice and you choose to do that, that's one thing. Yeah, but you know, I'm just saying, you know, there has to be an alternative if you truly cannot afford it. And then Ralph was saying about the veteran, got into a bar fight and accidentally killed somebody and was sentenced. What happens there? I know I'm just throwing out what else there, just trying to.
Yeah, but that's not even a gray area. That's self-defense. That's literally self-defense. So the problem comes from not the situation. It comes from the case. So you fight a self-defense thing in the court. You understand that, unfortunately, when it's innocent until proven guilty in this country, is not. It's backwards. We're guilty until proven innocent. So, like, it's still self-defense. That literally is the definition of self-defense. But once you get to court, it's witnesses, he said, she said, cameras, whatever you can prove that way. So if that veteran can prove self-defense and has the proof, then that's what they're going to get. If they can't prove it, that's the sucky part about it. If you couldn't prove it, you might get charged because you can't prove self-defense. Just because it is self-defense, the burden of proof is on the person.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. It is. So, yeah. Well, y'all, I'm at 1 hour and 32 seconds, 33 decibels. Well, Crazy, thanks for popping up here with me. Appreciate it. What's the date? I will have a show tomorrow. I will have a show Thursday, open discussion. Whatever y'all want to talk about. What else? Oh, y'all, I just want to make this comment, okay? So, no, I'm not going to make the comment.
Do it! Pull that out.
All right. So, y'all, if there is content in my show that you don't like, that offends you, there's no victims in my house. And I consider my podcast my house. There are no victims in my house. You all are free to leave whenever you want. You are free to exit stage left. And sometimes stage right, or just jump off. But if you have an issue, and I'm going to repeat this again, if you have an issue with my content or things that I'm saying about people on my show, know one thing. You don't know the conversations I've had with people prior to my show. You don't know conversations I've had with people after my show. And some of the things that I say, I make sure that it's okay and I run it by people. I will talk about anything and everything. I'm not afraid to go there. I will go there. And if you don't like it, don't go there with me. But don't go on other people's shows and talk about me. Because that's lame. It's lame and it's weak and it's tired. And it's childish. And it's stupid. And I can think of a lot of other adjectives. But if I am saying something in my show that you don't like, leave. You know, when I'm on other people's shows, if I disagree with something, a lot of times I don't come up on the panel. I don't even put it in the chat. And I don't think I've ever been offensive on someone else's show. And if I have or am, call me out. But I don't go on that many shows anyway. I'm very particular about the shows that I go on. And I do that for a reason. And one thing I have learned about Podbean and this platform, it's a gossip mill. People will dish you and dog you, whatever. But people always find out. So again, if there's anything that I say on my show that you don't like, don't come on. I will not be offended. I will not be offended at all. Everyone who comes on my show, and I've said this before, I appreciate each and every one of you because you don't have to come on. You don't have to listen. But topics that I have, I like to push buttons. I like to know what other people think because there's a lot going on in this world and I don't think we need to sugarcoat it. And when I have my Thursday shows, where we talk about anything and everything, you know, and if we, you know, have fun with other people, whatever. Again, you don't know the conversations I've had with those people prior to, and it's none of your business. But I know what lines I can and cannot cross. And after certain shows that I've had, I've reached out to people. And I've never had a complaint. So that's what I want to say. So Crazy, do you have any last words before I play my outro?
No, just, yeah, you know, I mean, really the only thing I have is stay out of trouble. And that's the only way to avoid the corrupt system. You know what I'm saying? Like, and unfortunately, even as an innocent citizen, you still might run into that. So stay under the radar. And then if you do get in trouble, chalk that stuff up to the game and stop doing stuff to people to get you kicked in your butt with karma, shorty. I mean.
See, y'all giving me another title for my Thursday show. So okay. So y'all, I'm going to leave y'all with Aaron Neville, "Don't Take Away My Heaven." So I will see you all tomorrow. And as always, thank you very much. So here you go.
Oh, baby, I found heaven when I found you. And this heaven is something I don't want to lose. I only know that if you ever said goodbye, I couldn't stand the pain. These eyes would cry, cry, cry like the rain. And the sun would have nowhere to shine. And the stars would all fall from the sky. Baby, please, don't take away my heaven. Oh, no. 'Cause this world would stop turning. When I saw you, and if you left me, I can't imagine what I'd do. Now that I've gone and built my world around your love, I couldn't let you go. Don't ever say goodbye.
Well, everyone, that's it. I will see you tomorrow. Enjoy your day or weekend or your day or evening, wherever you are in the world. And I hope to see you tomorrow. Bye.